What? That's materialistic. That's a tool that we use everywhere we go to preach the gospel of Christ. We've got another. It's tired, friends. Pray for us. Not only do we have medical bills, but we have ministerial needs. And one of the greatest needs we've had in a long time is to replace that. But to replace that with something as reliable as that is not cheap. To the tune of more than we paid for either of our cars. Not cheap. I'm not talking $20,000, only $4,000. I mean, we've been blessed. So pray for us that need can be met. Because we believe, God, it's going to be met this year and soon. And He's making ways for that. The substance of things hoped for. Friend, I don't care if it's a need that you physically have in your body, if it's a need you spiritually have within your family, if it's a need that you just need a new set of pots and pans, Lord. Hey, come on. Burning the food isn't fun. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We came home from church the other day, and Sister Pastor had put on a ham and invited us over. And she pulled the ham out of the oven, and we had a burnt offering. It was just lovely. We need good things to take care of our family. And it's not evil to desire such. We kind of preached it that way for a long time. It's just bad to desire good. No. It's bad to say, okay, in the name of Jesus, that's mine, and do nothing to get it and expect Him to give it. It's not bad to say, okay, God, make a way. Anybody hearing me?
Amen.
Is that pretty decent preaching?
Am I
out of line?
No, I think you're good.
Okay. It's substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. Until this materializes, I have to stand on the authority of God's word that He will supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And until I really understand the fulfillment of that scripture and stand on it, my faith will never grow into a spiritual gift. How many of y'all have ever met somebody that when they pray, heaven heard?
Amen.
And you know it. You know, they have this spiritual gift. It's called faith. Why is it? Because they've spent enough time in prayer before God that God said, yeah, you know me. And I know you. And honestly, in my opinion, the most powerful spiritual gift He gives us, bar none, prophecy included, is that gift called faith. Because it delivers to your need what's needed at the time. That's interesting. Brother Mike, are you saying that I can have the spiritual gift of faith? My Bible says that God's a good daddy. And He wants to reward His children with good gifts. Say amen.
Amen.
I really do believe each and every one of us can have that spiritual gift. But it's not something we get just by stepping out in our spiritual pampers and saying, okay, I've got faith. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I had decided that I was driving home to see Vicky. We weren't married yet, we were dating, and that I was quitting the ministry. I had been on the backside of the desert for 6 months and gotten somewhere in the top of my mind. I mean, I was spiritually starving to death, but gotten somewhere put into my mind that I couldn't make it without the Lord. I was a good enough musician. Oh, brother. As I'm driving, my car never did it before and it never did it after. Went from half a tank down to in the red in 2 miles. And I had put $20 in it, the only $20 I had. Now, I had my paycheck in my back pocket, but I had to get to Rochester from Minneapolis because my bank was in Rochester. 6 miles outside of Minneapolis, I'm in the red. And I thought, now mind you, I want you to keep in your mind, I'm driving home to tell Vicky we're quitting the ministry. I said, God, if I can just make it to a gas station. I'm going to quit God praying to Him. That's smart. 25 miles later, my car goes, poof. I said, Lord, I've heard about fumes, but Father, I'll go in faith as far as you want me to go. He said, don't you mean on faith? I said, no, in faith, Lord. I'm going in faith. He said, no, on faith. See, sis, I can go a long way in faith and never exercise it, but when I'm going on faith, it's all I've got.
Amen.
Second time I was in the hospital this year, I said, God, I don't understand it. I was weak, couldn't hardly breathe. Called my mom. I said, Mama. She goes, oh, my God. What hospital are you in now? That's all I said was, Mama. I said, I'm back in Mercy. She said, you've got a pneumonia and a small bowel obstruction. I said, God's been speaking to you again? She said, I can hear it. Mama knows what's going on. She said, I'm coming. She said, they're going to kill you. I'm coming. I said, I'm going to live and not die, Mama. I'm going to be just fine. Vicky won't let me die. She'd kill me. My mother, for 2 days straight, please let me come. Please let me come. Mom, you don't need to be here. The hospital's full of pneumonia. You'll get it. You don't need to be here, Mom. You don't need to. At the end of 4 days, I called her and she goes, oh, you sound so much better. Son, you had a death rattle when you called me. You weren't far from the door. I was 15 years old fighting pneumonia. I've had pneumonia a few times. I was laying in my bed and I couldn't breathe. Every time I breathed, you could just hear junk rattle and crackle and break up. And I was in bed and I said, Father, this is ridiculous. And the first time I remember feeling the healing power and presence and majesty of God come into my life, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the hand of the enemy that would come upon me. I bind this illness right now. And Lord, I receive by faith your healing that you're worth. 15 years old. I didn't know that my mother was sitting at the base of the stairs rebuking the death angel that had come because I had that death rattle. She was a registered nurse. She knew what she was talking about. Within 30 minutes, I had my healing. I went to bed. I got up the next morning looking good. My mama said, I just about came up those stairs and grabbed you because you had a death rattle and you were dying again in my arms, in my house, but not on my watch. Friends, I've been too close to death too many times. 18 months old, I died of SIDS in my father's arm. He had just taken a CPR course for children. You can still feel my sternum's broken to this day, but I'm here to tell about it. 4 years old, allergic to penicillin and aspirin, and they were giving me both intravenously. Dropped my blood cell count out to 4, just blew up everything in my body, killing me off. Went into a coma. Said, call the preacher and the undertaker. This kid won't live the night. I remember waking up to go to the bathroom, but I don't remember anything else. But when the preacher walked in, I sat up. And I said, Mama, I'm thirsty. <laughs> 31 years old, sitting at home, the room starts spinning. I said, God, this ain't good. I looked at Vicky, I said, we need to go. She interpreted that tongue. We got in the car and went straight to Mercy Hospital, and inside that hospital, they said, you're having a heart attack. I said, Lord, this is the last thing I need. I said, baby, call Mama. Call your mom, call Pastor, call Steve and Sarah, call the family. Tell them I'm having a little heart attack. It's okay, it ain't nothing. My little heart attack was an 100% blockage of the right coronary artery at the very top of the artery. But it was little. Absolutely no damage today because God knew what he was doing. But you want to talk about the devil trying to kill you? I was laying on that operating room. They no more got me open, and the lights flickered. And the doctor said to the technician there, he said, I just lost monitor 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I was with it enough when I wheeled in that room to know that all he had was monitor 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I knew that when he's doing a microscopic procedure, that ain't good. He said, how long till I get it back? The technician said, 2 minutes. And the doctor said, and I quote, I don't have 2 minutes. And I could hear in his voice the stress that he was under. And I thought, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do? And we were in the worst blizzard of the year. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but right here I'm on the operating team table. Right here is more delightful. Since I've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And I thought, shut up, Mike, you idiot. This is no place to be singing. Doctor turned to the nurse and he said, nurse, why is the radio on? That's entirely inappropriate. She said, it's not. I think it's him. Doctor said, was that you, Mike? I said, yes, sir, I'm sorry. He said, don't be sorry. Keep it up. That sounded mighty fine. Sang three choruses. At the end of three choruses, I was done. I had nothing left to give anybody. And as far as I was concerned, I could go on home to be with Jesus. I was finished. I've never been that worn out before in my life. At the very last finished, they opened that vein, and my whole body relaxed. And they lost power the second time. What are you saying? Devil was trying to kill me. Y'all have heard the story that while I was laying there, he came and he told me, huh, that's it. You're finished. You'll never minister again. Friends, that was 2007. Mm-hmm. 4 months later, he attacked my voice, not unlike he's done for the last 10 months of ministry. He said, well, if I can't take your life, I'll take your ministry. You know what? I don't care if I've got a squeak. I'll preach Jesus, born and crucified and risen from the dead. But God said, I'm not finished. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you. As I'm driving down the road, that car starts to choke and sputter. And I've told the Lord, I said, now that's it. I'm done in ministry. And you know that I need to be finished in ministry. It's been nothing but hurt and heartache. And I'm just tired of it. And God, I'm finished. And the car dies pulling into the gas station. And I haven't even got 20 cents to put in my car. And I heard the Lord say, take the seat out of the back of your car. And there was $4.50. And I was only 10 miles from Rochester. I said, I get it. You really are in control. 2 years later, I was sitting at home. And in my spirit, something just came and said, is God even real? The second I heard that voice, another voice came and said, choose now. You won't get another chance. Choose now. And as I sat down with a piece of paper, I began to write out God's real evidence, deniers. This whole side was full and not one thing over here. I tore it up and said, no, that's pretty obvious, Lord. And I've told you all these stories to tell you that if he's that concerned about me. Matthew pulled a hair off my head the other day. God said, well, there's one more down. My wife thought about pulling an eyebrow while we were sitting here tonight. And God would have said, that one was harvested in vain, but there it went. What are you talking about? If he's that concerned about me, he's that concerned about you. I was going from our home in Flores, Iowa, which is halfway in between Bloomfield and Ottumwa. And I was going into my telemarketing job. You know, for all that job was and all that job wasn't, I learned more from the Lord in the 3 years I worked that job than I have any other consecutive 3 years in my lifetime, mostly because of boredom. The other mostly because I was willing. And I had nothing better to do than sit at God's table. I'm driving. It's 75 degrees out, sun shining, birds singing, wind isn't hardly blowing at all, and I am enjoying a beautiful spring day. How many of y'all can say amen? Amen. Had my windows down because my air conditioner didn't work in Burgie anymore. Burgie. When I turned the fan on, it'd go, someone said, "What's that?" I said, "That's the inbred chicken in my glove box, Burgie." So the car got the name Burgie. And I was driving in Burgie, 55 mile an hour, and I heard a thud. And I thought, what in the world? And I looked around, and laying over on the seat next to me is a bumblebee, legs in the air. Flat on his back, legs are in the air. I said, what in the... I said, God, I hope that thing is dead. And the second I said that, the Spirit of God said, I created it. You need to pray that life comes back into it. Not me, Jack. You got the wrong white boy right here. Now I'm reasoning with the Lord again. God, don't you know I'm allergic? I mean, you created me just like you created that bee. Don't you know you created me allergic to that bee? Have you ever had a conversation with God, anything like this? If not, why don't you pray you have one? It's a real spiritual eye-opener. I said, well, I ain't doing it. And I reached over and did what most of us do. I just turned that radio up. And God said, pray that that bee gets life in it. And I turned the radio up louder. God said, pray. 10 miles I went just turning the radio up. And finally, the voice of God was louder than the music. And I said, fine, I'll do it. But I'm not happy about it. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, allow this bee to live. Friends, for 10 minutes, that bee never made a twitch, never made a move, and its little leg starts going like that. I got curious. Father God, in the name of Jesus. And now I'm praying with authority and fervor. Like the old Pentecostals, you know, the ones that would shake you and spit all over you. Lord, in the name. I salute you. In the name of Jesus, let this bee live. You know, when I got out of my car to go into work, that bee was running around my seat. Little wings fluttering. I said, I'm so glad you healed the bee, Lord. You can get him out of my car. I don't have to touch the thing. I went into work, and on my first break, it was 2 hours into my shift. I came back out to look to make sure that the bee was gone because I had enough faith that God was going to remove it. And you know he didn't. Oh, my goodness. I preached this sermon probably 100 times, and that's the most fun I've ever had with it. You know, that bee was laying on its wings again, feet in the air, and just crispy. Bacon in the sun for the 2 hours I had been working, and I was furious. Said, God, what was that wasted prayer all about? After I had stomped and rubbed that bee into the concrete, on my way back defeated into work, God spoke to me, and I've never forgotten what he said, and I never will. He said, son, I ask you to pray so you could see my power in action. I never intended to remove the bee out of your seat. That was your idea. My heart sank because this is what came immediately after. How many people started out in a ministry that God has given them only to wind up disillusioned, discouraged, and cast down because they got their will ahead of God's and they ended up like that bee, crispy, in the front seat.